With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Yes, it is to Wendy's Big Show on a Wednesday. I'm Robbie Maklouf along with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and our two former Packers, Gary Ellerson and Leroy Butler, Jeff Orlowski. On the other side of the glass, what was that, Leroy? The mics are on. We can hear everything you're saying.
I just say I like Jeff. That's one of my favorite guys. I like when he's in.
Yeah, he's all right. Coming up on the show.
That's not nice.
Coming up on the show.
That's not nice.
This afternoon, we'll get into just what's fair to expect from a new Bucks head coach, and we have some news on that front. That's coming up at 2:35. Is the Kings' reign over? We'll get to that coming up at 3 o'clock, and should we have seen this coming in the Eastern Conference? We'll get to that coming up at 4 o'clock. Right now, I want to talk about something.
Woo!
What just happened?
I guess fired up, dude.
Just random clapping?
Right.
Just random clapping and wooing.
It's nice outside.
Yeah, that's Garrett's probably what happy. It is.
Is that what it is?
It'll be nice for a minute.
My body feels good.
You got your floppy hat on?
Yeah.
You know you're inside now. You can take off the hat and the glasses.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. His eyes look a little burgundy. He may be on that medical tree.
I don't know that we can say that. Out of the gates, want to talk about something that we touched on yesterday when we were talking the Brewers. I say the Brewers have exceeded, or their starting pitching has exceeded expectations. What say you? 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 1057FM The Fan. I think we have to take ourselves back to spring training to really assess what the expectations were for this Brewers starting rotation. And you came into the spring with three established starters in the rotation. Anderson, Davies, and Chacin, who they brought over from San Diego. The other two spots were up for grabs, and nobody seemed too crazy for the guys who were grabbing at those last two spots.
Come on, Rami.
That's where we started.
Come on with it, boy.
In the spring.
Look at you.
Now, since then,
come on, man.
One of the three guys, your number two in the rotation, has missed one start. It looks like he'll miss at least one or two more starts and wasn't pitching up to hit the level that he did last year when he was on the mound for the
Preach.
Most part.
Preach.
Chase Anderson wasn't playing up to his level from last year when he was on the mound for the most part, and now he has missed a start and may miss one more. So putting all that into the equation and considering all that, has Brewers starting pitching exceeded expectations? 414-799-1250 or tweet us at 1057. FM The Fan. Sparky, you're the one who took exception with it yesterday.
Yeah,
when I said,
laid out why they haven't exceeded expectations with what you just said. You laid it out perfectly for me. I don't even have to talk.
How so?
I agree with you.
How
you're
so?
Absolutely correct. Chase Anderson hasn't pitched as well as last
yes.
year. Now he's missing starts.
But we're talking about the
Davies,
starting staff as a whole.
I'll go through every one.
Okay.
Davies has missed time. He didn't start off very well either, just like last year. So he wasn't pitching as well as he pitched at the end of last year either.
Mm-hmm.
Chacin started off horribly, and now he's come along very nicely in the last three or four starts. If anybody's exceeded expectations, it's Chacin
yes.
at this point.
And the other two spots in the rotation.
I'll give you Chacin. Suter hasn't been good in the starting rotation. He's going back to the bullpen where he belongs because he hasn't lived up to hype. Junior Guerra is another one that has been up and down depending on what day he's pitching. He had, three, four bad starts in a row where they weren't winning. He came back nicely this last start. Okay, fine. One in every three or four starts is great. I need more. I need more consistency than one in every three or four starts.
Give him more, guys. He's going to scream at you.
That's not going to last very long. I'm not excited about anybody in this rotation currently. Chacin's pitching well. I don't know if I have a lot of faith in him long-term, but he's pitching very well last night. Last night, he should have won, and they couldn't get any offense going against Greinke, and that happens. Greinke, is one of the best in the game and still has those games where he can pitch like he did last night. So Chacin didn't lose the game last night. The Brewers' offense did. So for me, they didn't exceed my expectations. You struggle to get into the sixth inning in some of these games. You don't ever get into the seventh inning with your pitcher. Hardly ever happens.
Nobody
before
does.
You have to go to the bullpen. So thank God for a dominant bullpen. They far exceeded any expectations that anybody had for them at the beginning of the year. And they're the main reason why they are where they are. Not the starting pitching, not the hitting, the bullpen.
I'm not talking about anyone in particular. Yes, Davies and Anderson were not living up to expectations.
They were supposed to be
when they were on the mound. Yes,
they were supposed to be 1-2 in this rotation to start the year until Jimmy Nelson.
But I'm talking about the starting rotation as a whole, and your starting rotation giving you a chance to win night in and night out. And the Brewers' starting rotation has done that. And I don't think that's something people were confident they could do after the first three spots in the rotation.
The bullpen has given you the opportunity to win baseball games far more than the starting rotation has.
Where would you say the Brewers are in innings pitched in the National League?
I have no idea. Couldn't tell you.
Just take a guess.
Well, you've got it up on your screen.
Yeah, just take a guess because you seem to think that they haven't been going deep enough into games.
The starting rotation?
Yeah, and innings pitched. Because I've heard this all season long, and honestly, I was buying the narrative that the Brewers weren't going deep into games relative to the rest of the league.
Eighth or ninth?
They're seventh.
Okay, that was close.
They're seventh in the league in innings pitched at 223. And the two teams at the top, you shouldn't expect to be in their class when it comes to pitching, and that's the Nationals and the D-backs.
Where are the Cubs?
The Cubs,
they're not supposed to be in the Brewers class either.
In innings pitched, they're 13th at 209.
They're even worse and a lot more expensive.
Yeah.
Well, I understand how you think they exceed expectations based on how bad the Cubs starting pitching has been. But I
that's
still
got nothing
say,
to do with it.
Well, sure, because look,
it's got absolutely nothing to do with it. And the reason that Cubs
both teams pretty much every night.
I watch a lot of teams. I watch a lot of baseball.
Okay, so you've watched the Nationals as much as the Cubs and the Brewers?
Not as much, but I've seen them.
So you watch those two teams the most.
Yes.
Night in and night out.
Yes.
You watch the Brewers because you say you root for the Brewers if it's not against the Cubs. And I believe that. So you watch the Brewers. And you watch, obviously, your team, the Cubs. You're watching both.
Right.
You're watching one team not living up to expectations by a long shot and having a bunch of overpaid hype right now currently that have had their injuries with Darvish and so forth and not doing what they're supposed to do. Then you're looking at the Brewers going, they don't have nearly as much talent as this Cubs pitching staff, and they're doing better than the Cubs pitching staff.
They're doing better than a lot of staffs who have more talent.
But that doesn't mean that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing because other teams aren't.
They're doing better than what we expected them to do. The question is, has the Brewers starting pitching exceeded expectations?
I say no.
And any number that you look at says yes. They're middle of the pack in innings pitched. They're middle of the pack in ERA. They're middle of the pack in WHIP. Nobody would even put them at the middle of the pack when the season started. Everybody thought that this would be the weakness of the Milwaukee Brewers. When in reality, they've been one of the strengths of the Milwaukee Brewers. They're the reason that the Brewers are in games when they hand the ball off to a dominant bullpen in the fifth, sixth, and seventh inning, night in and night out.
Part of the
reason that the Cubs haven't been getting a lot of innings out of their starters is, yes, they've been disappointing. They haven't been performing that great. But also, Joe Maddon, a lot like Craig Counsell, believes in using his bullpen and using it heavily and not letting a pitcher go through a batting order for a third time unless he's having a really good day. Craig Counsell isn't pulling guys out of the game every night because they've run into some trouble or they're pitching poorly.
So you're saying he's trying to burn the bullpen on purpose?
No,
Because did you see what they had to do
last night? He's going to what gives them the best chance to win.
They were shorthanded last night, and they had to do what they had to do last night. And it cost them. It did. I mean, Logan hasn't pitched all that much. You had to go to him. You had to pitch Lopez in that game last night. And that's because why? Because of the way you're going about your business. Now, I don't know what everybody else's bullpen looks like. The Brewers are blessed to have relievers that can go multiple innings night in. Well, not night in, night out, but can go multiple innings when they come in. They don't have a bunch of one-hitter type guys, specialty lefties that, he's going to face a lefty and then he's done. And I'm going to go get another pitcher. That's not how they're going to roll. They've got guys like Jefferson can go multiple innings. Hader can go multiple innings. You've got those guys, which makes it a different scenario, I guess, for this bullpen versus others.
And he's not overworking the bullpen when you look at it relative to the rest of the league. Again, they're middle of the pack, the Brewers starting pitching is, and innings pitched.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think he's taxing his bullpen or overworking them relative to the rest of the league because bullpens are more heavily used in Major League Baseball in 2018. I think you just have to change the way that you watch this. Has Brewers starting pitching exceeded expectations? 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. GE?
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
On whose part? On both of us?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's great radio.
I like going back and forth with Spark, though.
I mean, you had all your stuff. I mean, that's my boy. You thought about this overnight. I mean,
you did a little homework.
Came up on the air yesterday.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I know, but he was fat.
Well, there's your credit down in flesh.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, I had, I knew this was coming, so I had time to prepare, and I did.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, man. Jesus.
I prepared an argument in terms of how I wanted to structure it and the facts and statistics that I wanted to back it up with.
It's new people. We had new people every day.
Guilty or innocent, I don't know.
Yeah, we get new people every day.
Order on this one right here, Leroy.
Yeah.
What's your question? Because I think Pete forgot what the question
was. Has Bruins starting pitching exceeded expectations? I literally just asked you this at 414-799-1250.
You want me to answer
us
right now? You want me
to go to 105.7 FM The Fan? No, I'd like you to answer right now.
Yeah, they have. Please. Yeah. I mean, because what were we talking about coming into this season? Pitching. We needed pitching. We need a starter. We need maybe two starters.
They do need two starters still. And maybe three.
Yeah. And that's
really
what
we were
talking
about.
Huh?
I really don't think so.
But before the season started.
I'm saying right now.
Right? Is that what we were saying before the season started?
Yes.
We needed maybe two pitchers. One for sure. Frontline guy. And we were freaking out how all these guys were getting picked up by all these people paying money, blah, blah, blah. What is he doing? What is he doing? And, yeah, I mean, I think if you thought something that was maybe the Achilles heel to this team, you thought it was pitching, yeah, they've exceeded expectation. They're pitching their tails off right now. And I don't know if you want to talk about starting pitching, bullpen.
Oh, we're talking about the starting rotation now.
Yeah, okay.
Nobody would dispute the bullpen.
Yeah, the bullpen, yeah. We knew that was good, but I don't think you knew how
even
good they were.
Exceeded those expectations.
Exactly.
Yes.
I don't even know you knew how good they were.
Yeah, you're right.
Which has been absolutely phenomenal.
Well, as a couple people knew how good they were.
Well, they probably
never
did.
Never give them credit.
They probably did, but not you know, the talking heads like myself. So there you go, Rum.
So Gary,
and they hadn't even hit the ball well yet.
Right.
That's what you thought was going to happen.
If the Brewers' starting pitching was as bad as we all thought it was going to be coming into the season, and the lineup was doing what it's doing, we wouldn't be talking about a first-place team. We'd be talking about a fourth-place team, and they wouldn't even be close.
Right. Thank you, Rami. I think just said that.
David Stearns, I mean, he talked about it going into spring training. He said, listen, we don't get anybody else. I'm okay with it, paraphrasing, of course. And he got blasted, you know, when he said that. A lot of people, and the national guys as well, thinking, why wouldn't you go and overpay some of these guys? And we talked to Seth every Monday, and Seth saying, well, you know, when Rami and them jumped out, not Rami, I take that back. When the Cubs jumped out there and signed, you know, Darvish, you know, he said, well, I don't know how good that's going to be, but the Brewers should have just signed it, overpaid him. I don't know if they really could have helped. I mean, losing 2-1, I'm okay with that in baseball. I mean, a lot of those games you're going to win. Especially if you're going up against a pitcher like Greinke. Not only did I think they exceeded expectation, I think it got people scratching their head like, what in the hell is going on? Because when you got a bullpen like that, starting pitch is overrated. Man, just somebody run out there and get me 5 hitters and keep it close. We're going to be all right. Especially with all these injuries. Hell, they got more people on the DL than I've ever seen in a long time that I paid attention to anyway. When this guy coming back. But I don't think you need one of these, all these guys. See, a lot of people get caught up in big names, you know, a big name guy. You need a big name guy. Hey, man, listen, you just need a guy that will give you a good effort. In the bullpen, you're going to probably have to use them a lot. That's what they're there for. Why you think I wanted Josh Hader to see him a lot more? Now you got to wait to find the right role for him, you know. Guy puts up good numbers. I want him in the starting lineup. So if they really wanted to upgrade the starting, you know, the starting rotation, they got guys they could throw in there with pretty decent names. Otherwise, keep them where they at, which everybody agree on that, and just see what happens. If you can win games like this, great. But sooner or later, you're going to start scoring 5-6 runs, and it's going to all average out.
Has Brewers starting pitching exceeded your expectations? 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 105.7FM. The Fan and the Wendy's Big Show is back right after this.
So he pitched beautifully. And then, I mean, he, you know, threw 7 innings strong, you know, really strong. I mean, really had the ability to probably keep going. But it was outstanding performance, yeah.
That was Craig Counsell after a loss, but a strong outing from Jolice Chacin. Last night in Arizona, those two get underway with the finale of that series coming up about 2:30. Tim Allen, Bill Baby Tosh Schmidt will be in with the Blaine's Farm and Fleet baseball postgame show as soon as that game is over. Also at that time, we'll get into what's fair to expect from the new Bucks head coach and some news on that front as well. Right now, we're asking you, Has Brewers starting pitching exceeded your expectations? 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 1057FMTheFan.
So you had your numbers.
Yes.
Here's some numbers I pulled up in the brief. Not everybody.
I only gave one number, by the way. It was innings pitched.
No, you said ERA. They're in the middle, too.
Yeah, but I didn't give the exact pitching number. I just said they were middle of the pack.
That's fine.
Yeah.
So everybody's got their thing that they like. Now, some people like the stat quality start. Other people think it shouldn't be called a quality start because it's like a 4 ERA if you do what a quality start is. Okay.
Right.
So everybody's got their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just say, for the sake of argument, the quality start is considered a good thing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Wade Miley had one quality start out of two before he got hurt. The first and only outing that he had before he got hurt was really good. Fine. Junior Gares had seven starts. He's had two quality outings in seven attempts. Chacin has had 10 starts. He's the only one that's made every start in the rotation his time through. He's had three quality starts out of 10. Chase Anderson is 500, which I think is pretty good. If half your starts are quality starts, I don't know what the league average is, but 4 of 8 were quality starts for Chase Anderson. And his ERA is just below 4. Zach Davies, 3 of 6 prior to him getting hurt. And Brent Suter, 0 of 7 in starts for Brent Suter. Not one single quality start. Brandrew Woodruff had 2 starts. 0 for 2 for Woodruff in quality starts. And then Freddie Peralta also technically did not get a quality start because he only pitched 5 2/3. But otherwise,
and you have
he would
go have 6 innings.
Right.
To get
otherwise,
a quality start.
He would have had a quality start had he got one more out.
I'm not one to dismiss the quality start
statistic. It all depends how much you like that Saturday.
I just think that you have to put it into context. And when you're talking about the Brewers and their starting rotation, I think that more times than not, Craig Counsell is pulling these guys before they can get a quality start, not because they're not pitching well, but just because he has better options in a very good bullpen. Maybe the best in baseball.
Okay, do me a favor.
Yes.
Going forward, can you just, like, text me. You can tweet it too, I guess, but I'm not going to see it on Twitter all the time.
I'll text you.
Just text me and be like, I don't think he needs to pull. I don't think he needs to pull him right now.
If he didn't
have a good bullpen, he wouldn't be pulling him right now, Spark.
Yes.
He should have left him in.
Now that's a different thing.
See what I'm saying?
I agree with the way Craig Counsell is handling his starting staff in combination with his relief corps.
I don't want you to debate whether he should pull him or not. I just want you to tell me the situation.
If it wasn't as good a bullpen,
this pitcher
would stick with this guy.
Right.
I can do that.
Right.
I'll try and remember to do that. Let's go to Wayne on the east side. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Wayne?
I was just going to bring up, you were talking about how many innings our starting staff had pitched. I think the number was 233, and you said they're ranked 8th, I believe, in the league. Really, the true indicator there would be, I think the Brewers have still played more games than most teams. We haven't had the rainouts. So what you got to do is take the innings divided by how many games have been played and see where they rank. I didn't do this, but it's got to drop them in the ranking.
That's a fair point.
Played more games. So that's one thing that I want to bring up. I mean, somebody there can calculate that pretty quick, see where that ranks. I'd be curious. But the other thing, I think their starting pitching has not performed up to to what was expected. Certainly Chase Anderson, he has not. Brent Suter, they didn't expect a whole lot, but certainly more than he has given them there. But anyhow, the other point is the one I mainly wanted to bring up.
And that's a fair point.
He's saying that
because I brought up the innings pitched stat. And he's saying they have more innings pitched, but they've played more games. So
I got that.
Innings pitched per start is what he's looking for. I don't have that in front of me, and I'm not going to do the math on the air.
But did he answer the question?
He did say yes, that they have somewhat exceeded expectations.
Okay.
Maybe not to the degree that I'm saying.
Because when you start doing numbers, you know how this is going to go, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But I would counter his number with this number. And I didn't want to
make I'm not doing that.
I didn't want to make
Come
this
on,
a numbers
please.
Thing. I didn't want
don't
to make this,
this
a numbers thing, but this is my counter argument to what he just said. He said the Brewers have played more games, so they're going to have more innings pitched. I would counter that by saying they've played more games, so they've faced more batters, and they have the 5th best batting average against in the National League.
Okay, smart
now,
guy.
More innings pitched, and they still have a lower batting average than 11 teams in the National League. Just saying.
Let's smart guy.
Can I ask you a question?
Rob, hold on 1 second.
Can I ask you a question?
Hold on, yes.
Because I'm seeing Kyle tweet at the fan, and he says, it seems like the loud opinion was that the rotation would be one of the worst in baseball, right? But these guys are keeping the team in games, averaging 5.1 innings pitched, 2.3 earned runs per start, 4.11 starters ERA ranks 14th in Major League Baseball, which is average. But and maybe I'm missing something, but I don't think I ever said it. I don't think Tim Allen ever said it, or anybody else said that they'd be among the worst rotations in baseball.
I don't remember those words coming out of your mouth.
The conversation on this show was, what do they need to contend for the division until Jimmy Nelson gets back? And I said they needed at least one good starting pitching to contend and have a legitimate shot at a wild card, and they needed two to be the odds-on favorite to win the division. That's what I said, right?
Yes.
I'm not misquoting myself?
Yes.
Okay. So I don't believe I ever said they'd be one of the worst in baseball to begin with. Now, did I think they'd be at this point without Jimmy Nelson, without another starter? No, I didn't think the record would be this good. I figured they'd be around 500 probably. That was what I thought they'd be around with when Jimmy Nelson got back with the starting pitching they have. And they very well may end up at that point before Jimmy Nelson comes back. But right now, again, that bullpen is saving them tremendously right now.
How did you think they were going to be about a 500 team at this point without Chase Anderson?
Offense. Like, what?
Exactly.
The offense has been deplorable.
Exactly my point.
That's why.
The offense hasn't lived up to their expectations. The bullpen
that
has...
That was exactly my point. Right?
And that was Gary's point, too.
The bullpen wasn't dominant. They'd be under 500
The
right
bullpen
now,
has slightly exceeded expectations, but we all knew that that would be good.
They're one or two in baseball.
Yeah,
how is that slightly?
I knew they'd be one of the better bullpens in baseball. They've been more dominant than I thought.
I was going to say, I didn't hear anybody saying, oh, boy, the Brewers are going to have a lights-out bullpen. They'll be one or two at the end of the year.
I talked about how good I thought the bullpen would be. I didn't think
you
it would...
You said one or two?
No, I've said three times now, dude. I didn't think it would be quite this good, but to me, the starting pitching has exceeded expectations by far more than the bullpen.
Totally disagree.
The starting rotation is what has canceled out a lack of offensive production.
I know, we just
and
disagree.
Has you in this position.
The bullpen is the reason why you're in this position, not the starting rotation.
Both. But I expected the bullpen to be pretty good. Let's go to Rob in Waukesha. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Rob?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I think Sparky had an extra energy drink today, huh?
No, you know what? It's funny because we're going to talk about that IKEA thing this morning that I was at standing in line at 4:15 in the morning when we were out there. But I didn't have any energy drink because I wasn't sure if there was going to be a restroom to use when we were standing outside for 4 hours. So I actually stayed away from it.
Was there a restroom?
They had porta potties outside.
Yeah. They have to. If they're going to make people wait 4 hours,
yeah,
you got to have some way for people to.
They did. Yeah.
All right. What you got on the Brewers, Rob?
Well, I Sparky just hit it on the head, and I'm glad he did say that because, going into the season, I was one of the guys who thought they didn't need to add another big arm, or at least a big-name arm, spend that money. I was more, hey, timely hitting, a little bit more consistency throughout the lineup. That should win us, you know, a few more ball games because how many one-run games were we involved in last year? So with that being said, we're still waiting for that timeliness and those clutch hits to come a little bit more consistently. However, the starting rotation, in order for the bullpen to be as great as they have been, whoever is running out there every 5 days and giving us 4, 5, 6 innings, they are the ones keeping us in the ball game, keeping it close. And the idea is, if you're giving us 5 innings, 6 innings, giving up 3 or 4 runs, to me, that's quality. And that's something that our offense should be able to handle on a nightly basis more times than not. So to me, the starting rotation has exceeded expectation. And I wanted to jump on Sparky a little bit because he got on my man Junior there. I don't know what he's talking about.
He's got a big fan base.
One out of every 4 starts. But I'll tell you, I was there on May the 4th, the Star Wars night. He got absolutely tattooed.
He's got two quality starts in seven outings so far.
I only remember 2 bad outings.
I'm just telling you what the numbers say, like Rami does. Right.
And Cleveland, he gave up 4 runs, but he really had 1 bad pitch in that game. And I know I sound like counsel right now.
Oh, you're going to defend your guy. Look, Junior Guerra has a big fan base. And if Junior Guerra can be
does.
The guy.
There's one guy right here.
No question.
I love Junior Guerra.
If Junior Guerra can be what he was 2 years ago.
Lord have mercy.
That's a huge steal. I mean, that's one of your big name pitchers you wanted to add to this rotation if he can go back to looking like he did 2 years ago. But again, can he do it? I don't know. He's shown glimpses that he's got that in him. But can you do it consistently?
You know why I think Junior Guerra has the fan base that he has?
Huge fan base.
I know. One. He doesn't look like a professional athlete.
He's the underdog story.
Right. In the sense that, you know, he's not chiseled. He looks like you or me. You know what I mean? He's got a little gut. He doesn't look like he's in great shape. I'm
so
sure
does Chacin.
I'm sure he's in better shape than any of us.
Yeah, but short.
You add that into the fact that he is the against all odds underdog story.
Yeah,
the
right.
guy who didn't get his real crack in the major leagues till the age of 30, and then made the most of it and had a
and
great
got some
season.
Good, pretty good stuff. Too,
it's a good story, and he's been a good pitcher. What we saw in 2016, a bit of a mirage. He'll never be that again, but he's been a pretty good pitcher.
How do you know that?
What do you mean?
That he'll never be that again.
That's just my prediction.
You just say it matter-of-factly. Like, yeah, we all know he's never going to do that again, but why do you say that?
I've said this before, and I think you've agreed with me in the past. To me, guys who make
what's going on with you two?
Guys who make it to the big leagues.
It's the worst time of the year for me and Rami.
Guys,
y'all breaking up?
When it's football season, we get along much better.
Yeah, we found out yesterday Sparky is much more annoyed by my arguing style than you or Gary. So he likes Packers season a little bit more when he argues with you guys more than he does with me like he does during the baseball season.
But the point is he argues with somebody.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for his old lady.
Sparky's the reactor on the show.
No, we're not around.
No, that's his role. That's his job. He's supposed to bring that.
Argue with everybody.
It's what he's supposed to do.
Give my opinion.
This
that's
is a debate show.
No, I'm talking outside of here.
Right. No. Outside of here.
Outside, I think he's driving K nuts.
No, I don't think so. Because outside of here, Sparky and I don't really argue that much.
I'll text Sparky outside out. Of here, do you?
Occasionally. Yeah, time to time. What? It used to be much more.
Well, he can answer for himself. You don't get on nerves, do you?
When you go home, you're done.
You do?
Oh, for sure.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You do?
What?
Absolutely.
Get on her nerves.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, well, he's consistent.
Everybody
he
gets on their significant other's nerves, don't they?
Well, some more than others.
You ain't pulled to. Like that, Gary?
Yeah.
Because if we aggravate you a lot at work, you're supposed to go home for comfort.
Uh-huh.
You don't go home to continue the argument.
But sometimes my comfort is annoying somebody else, and then I'll get on my
girl's
nerves. Yeah,
you need therapy then. I'd rather be like Sparky than you, because at least I'm consistent. You're saying, I'm going to carry it over. Casey, come here. I was arguing with Leroy yesterday, and I want you to be him.
No, it's not like that. No. It's not like that.
If you're role-playing like that, that's a problem.
It's mentally,
he wants to win an argument. So if he can't hear, he'll go home and win an argument.
I'm not talking about arguments. I'll do things like I'll do.
Because she can probably.
I'll do like innocent, annoying things. Like she hates when I sing, or she hates, you know what I mean?
We hate when you sing.
Exactly, yeah. So I'll just do stuff like in an innocent way.
But you don't get on her
nerves. I'll intentionally annoy her.
Just to do it.
No.
Because I think you do that here to spark it.
No, I don't.
We just
disagree on things, and the way I argue, I guess, is aggravating and annoying to Sparky and to others. Because Gary said the same thing. I'm the most annoying person to argue with.
And then
he did the most annoying thing about his arguing style, which was, I can't put a finger on it as to why, but...
Yeah.
You're the most annoying person to argue with. And that's the most annoying thing about the way that Gary argues, is he always pulls out the, I can't put a finger on it.
Right.
Because you can't really argue against that.
See, I was in Chicago yesterday doing something.
He knows he does it. He's over there chuckling right now.
It gave me a time to think about this, what I've learned from each one of you guys. I would love to tell y'all that one day.
What you've learned from each of us?
Yes.
How long is this going to take?
A few minutes, but we could do it at 5
o'clock. No, we got it now.
Because I think it's significant to know when you work in a cubicle next to a guy that you have to do a project with, you don't necessarily have to like him. But it's things about him that annoys you. And you look forward to it. And then you're like, oh, my God, this guy's so damn annoying. I just wish he could just...
Can you tell us... Can you go around the horn and tell us what you've learned from each one of us in, say, 2 minutes? Could you do it in 2 minutes?
Oh, yeah, I could try.
All right, go. We have 2 minutes.
One thing I learned from Gary is to just learn. I learned this from him. To just know when to back down. Just, okay,
when
dude.
Did you do this?
This was
just
yesterday.
Let him go, man. We only have 2 minutes. And, this is what Leroy then, has learned from the big show.
I'll say Sparky for lack is the most intense one.
Really?
But with you, that I've learned with you, if you don't agree, you're stupid. You just, that's what it is. If you don't agree, dude, you're stupid.
No, that's not it.
This is what I said. I don't have enough time.
If you're going to dispute...
You got 2 minutes. Stop.
This is what I learned.
Before you call Leroy stupid, let him finish.
If you're going to dispute facts, you're stupid.
Steve.
But go ahead.
If for Steve, I learned that when it doesn't matter, if you're backed into a corner, if you're right or wrong, just believe your point and don't move off your point.
You better believe your point, otherwise you shouldn't be saying it.
Now, sometimes I'm saying something really dumb, and you know, you guys are like, well, maybe I should rethink that. With you, I'm locked in. So I've learned that. So with the three of you guys, I think I've become a better person to argue with because I can at any time pull out a card from you guys.
You're definitely different.
It makes me a great person.
You're different than you were when you started on that show.
But I think I judge people a little bit different when you see somebody every single day.
Right.
Because I love Jeff Orlowski, okay? Nothing's going to make me not like him. But when he says he doesn't like McCarthy thing, then I grab one of you guys' card to deal with him.
Right.
To try to deal with it. So
you know what card I grabbed with Jeff Orlowski?
Well, no.
Robin Maklouf card.
Well, yeah, that's where you could pull out the Robin Maklouf card.
You're stupid, Jeff.
Just because you don't agree with me. But to Gary's point, he knows when to say, okay, I've had enough. You got it. But with Sparky, if he believes it, I don't care if I'm wrong. I believe it.
He's biting down.
And I'm going to make you believe it.
Right.
So
that's 2 minutes
at any
on the
time,
dot,
I could
right there.
Pull
accurate description
of
me.
You know what else I've learned from Sparky?
What's that?
About Brooklyn and sheets and how important sheets are to getting a good night's sleep.
You guys in bed together?
I just listen when he talks.
We should all one day go somewhere with some Brooklyn and sheets and all sleep together, the four of us. We'd have to determine who's on the end and the middle. Now, I'm going
to do head to toe. It better be head to toe.
Well, we just can't turn.
I don't want to smell any of your breath.
If you go ahead and toe, I'm a
just in the morning.
You know what?
I'm an end guy. You know, I don't care. If you're
head
inside,
to toe,
you're warmer.
Head to toe or not head to toe? The answer is absolutely not.
Why not?
I'm not sleeping
it's
in a bed
Brooklyn
with you
sheets.
Three
we
jokers.
We should do a video with some Brooklyn and sheets.
No, that's okay.
That's all
right. I'll be on the end.
That's okay. That's
all everybody right, dress.
That's okay.
Some silk
that's
pajamas.
All right. No, that's
we watch The Notebook.
It's quite all right.
We're good, cuz.
Just. It's fine.
Go ahead.
Is it 2 minutes up yet?
Oh, it's, yeah. He actually concluded his argument in 2 minutes precisely.
Then what happened?
And then we got into this nonsense about wanting to sleep in the same bed together. Just talk about
They're
Brooklyn
good
and Sheets,
why
man.
Wouldn't you do that?
Okay, that should be enough time. Brooklyn and Sheets. Let me tell you about Brooklyn and Sheets. They are those nice luxury sheets that you've always wanted but couldn't afford. At least that's where I was, and that's when I made the switch to Brooklyn and Sheets. I wasn't a big believer in a difference in sheets and one being that much better than another. How much of a difference could there possibly be? Well, I bought in once I tried Brooklyn and Sheets, and you should buy in as well. It's luxury bedding, underpriced. You have to try these sheets today when you are not going to be able to get a lot of sleep like I wasn't last night as I went and stood outside waiting for a store to open. You need the best sheets you can get to get the best night's sleep you can get. They make a difference with how you sleep, and you spend a third of your life in those sheets. Founded in April of 2014, their philosophy is simple. The most beautiful, comfortable home essentials without the crazy prices. Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world. Over 20,000 five-star reviews. Versatile color and patterns. You can mix and match to complement any decor. My Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've slept on. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer just for my listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code SPARKY at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code SPARKY at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code SPARKY. Brooklinen. These are the best sheets ever.
What's fair to expect from the next Bucks head coach? And we have some news on that front as well when the Wendy's Big Show returns right after this. It's the Wendy's Big Show. I'm Rami Maklouf along with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and our two former Packers, Gary Ellerson and Leroy Butler. Cubs, Brewers, and D-backs underway from Arizona.
You know here,
Blaine's Farm and Fleet Baseball Postgame Show. So my mind's right here. Cubs
don't
play
until
later tonight. Blaine's Farm and Fleet Baseball Postgame Show presented by Admirals Hockey coming up as soon as that game is over. What is fair to expect from the new Bucks head coach in year one, 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 1057FMTheFan. And before we really dig into the question, we may soon know who the next Bucks head coach is, as Zach Lowe of ESPN reported today that Giannis Antetokounmpo had breakfast with Mike Budenholzer, the former Hawks head coach, right here in Milwaukee.
Now do we call him Booty?
This morning, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, got it.
Giannis and Middleton.
And Chris Middleton, he just added.
Okay, but why was it Parker there, allegedly?
Because he's not part of the future.
Well, I wouldn't even have no. I wouldn't even want to go to it. No way, to be honest with you.
So,
stupid.
First thing I said was, "Why is Middleton there?" I agree with you. But what we came up with in the break is he clearly is the number two to Giannis going forward, and that's who they're going to build around those two.
Well, we ain't winning no championships soon, though.
That's what I think.
Good luck with your booty.
I think that's what they're saying. And he's got an opt out after next year to become a free agent, which means you better figure out how much you're going to pay this man. And get ready to owe up. Because if he averages over 20 points a game and again next year, he's going to make over $20 million a year. He's going to be making just as much as Giannis, or more than Giannis, after next season. So if you're going to commit, you better commit.
Yeah, he'll exceed Giannis' contract. Giannis. I mean, that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, but Giannis going to get a big deal, though, in a couple of years.
Yeah, he is.
Giannis took less. Get the max. Yeah. He took less to begin with. He could have gotten more than he did. And he took, what, $5 million less?
So you're saying Aaron Rodgers should take less? I'm confused what you're thinking.
I'm not talking about Aaron Rodgers.
I was trying to get you in on that.
No. I don't care what Aaron Rodgers does. That's up to him. But, I mean, from that standpoint, I think it's Budenholzer. I mean, you're just waiting for a press conference. He's in town. They did the interviews in New York. They bring him all the way back to Milwaukee to have dinner with his star player and the number two guy in Middleton. Okay. And I'm assuming if both of those guys say we're good, they have the press conference. I would assume a press conference announcement will be coming here shortly. Unless we find out from Zach Lowe, who clearly somebody from the Bucks is talking to. Again, we go back to the Jabari Parker contract offer, so who knows what that's all about. But unless we find out Messina's in town and having dinner with the same two gentlemen tonight after they had breakfast with Budenholzer this morning. But providing Budenholzer is the only one in town and Messina's not here, Budenholzer's an ex-head coach, I think. I think that's a safe bet at this point.
I would agree. Anybody not on that page?
And it's a smart play to have Giannis meet this dude, sit down with this dude, talk to this dude, ask this dude whatever questions he may have and go from there.
This seems to me like a final formality before you actually make the official announcement.
Depends who was at the dinner, though.
It was a breakfast. Well, does that change it if it was dinner or breakfast?
Yeah, it does.
If it's dinner, you locked in breakfast and breakfast for dinner. But we can touch on that.
Yeah, as long as it's at Waffle House, I'm through with them. But if to me, thank you, Robbie. You're the only one get jokes from around here. You're the only intelligent guy here. But listen, I'm gonna say this to say that. I want to know who was there. Because, you know, I love drama. Because if both owners weren't there, then the other owner's going to opt out of next year. That's why you want to lock this guy down. And I think they're doing their due diligence. Do they always take guys out to eat if they're one of the candidates close to it?
I don't think you sit them down with your number one and two star players.
If
he's just any candidate.
Right, I'm just saying they were available.
I haven't seen any reports. And the last report we heard before this was that it was down to two candidates, Budenholzer and Messina from Popovich's staff in San Antonio.
Okay.
I haven't seen that Messina had breakfast with Giannis.
Right.
Or Chris Middleton. Tells me that this is pretty close to being a done deal.
See, that's why I would have not have let that leak out that he ate with those two guys, just kept it private. Because if he doesn't get the job, then you're going to get a lot of bad press for that. So you kind of control your own narrative. Have a secret meeting with the guy. Then let's just get on with the damn press conference. What's all the secret? Just go and get him in a job. If you're negotiating with him, let that out. Let's get this thing started. Now, has Booty ever had a job before head coach?
What do you mean?
As a head coach?
Has he ever been a head coach before?
Yeah, he was a Hawks head coach.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying before the Hawks.
No, he came from Popovich's staff where he was for 17 years.
Hawks is his first time being a head coach.
Yes.
I like that. Okay, I like that.
Was coach of the year, won 60 games?
Give him another chance. But back to the players and Jabari. If you're Jabari, what are you thinking? Let's add some drama to this. Why, if you see that picture, has that picture been released or are we just on speculation?
I haven't seen any pictures.
Just the guy from ESPN tweeting about it.
And what city were they in when they
were in Milwaukee.
So that'll leak out in the next 20 minutes.
What, a picture?
Yeah, I got to see a picture.
From the breakfast?
Yeah.
Unless they rented out a restaurant, somebody had to have seen them.
Yeah, somebody has.
You're not going to miss Giannis and Chris Middleton walking into a restaurant in this town.
No, they're not.
You may not know who Budenholzer is, but you're not going to miss those two.
Yeah.
Unless you're the host at a taco place.
So, I like that, Ron.
Thank
you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, I'm going to wrap this thing up, but I just got a few more questions. And hopefully y'all can just make up stuff or give me some kind of answers. If they're serious about doing this and they were in serious negotiations right now, do we know who his agent is?
I am not aware of that fact. I'm sure Sparky can find it out real quick.
It depends on who his agent is. We'll know we got a deal or not.
I can tell you where they should have taken him for breakfast.
Wendy's?
If they wanted to impress the guy. Oh. Now, anywhere where Beauforting beer is on draft. That includes Cafe Benelux, Cafe Hollander,
Romans, you look at
Cafe
Benelux,
Bavaria,
they take dogs over
Cafe
there.
Central, Sports Club, Newport Shores, and the Stilt House in Cedarburg. I have not been over there yet,
House.
Gary, but I will be getting over there because I love dog bars.
You
I love any
Stilt
place.
House?
Stilt House. S-T-I-L-T House.
Stilt House.
It's up in Cedarburg. Any one of those places, Beauforting Beer is on tap. And Beauforting Beer, if you don't know, is a high-quality beer from the country of Luxembourg, where it's the number one selling beer in the country. And they share a border with Germany and Belgium. So you know these guys know what good beer is. And it's a family-owned brewery. They've been doing it the same way at the same high standard since 1764. It's a rare craft import made in small batches using nothing but superior ingredients, 100% natural ingredients, and fresh spring water are only used in the production of Bofording and their three varieties available here in the United States. Those three varieties, you got the Bofording Pilsner. That's light, crisp, refreshing, but has a lot of great flavor. That's their flagship beer. My flagship Bofording beer is the Triple because it's strong. 8% alcohol by volume strong, yet unbelievably smooth and drinkable. Rare, and it can get you in trouble. So enjoy it, but enjoy it responsibly. And then you got the Bofording Fruit, which is made with real fruit, cherries, plums, blackberries, unlike a majority of fruit beers, which provides superior taste. It's Milwaukee's new favorite import, Bofording Beer. Again, on draft at Cafe Benelux, Cafe Hollander, Cafe Bavaria, and Cafe Central, and at Total Wine & More at their two locations in Brookfield and Greenfield. If it's Budenholzer or anybody else, what's fair to expect from the Bucks' new head coach in year one? We'll discuss next, right after this, on the Wendy's Big Show.
It's the Wendy's Big Show. I'm Rami Makhlouf, along with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and our two former Packers, Gary Ellerson and Leroy Butler. Developments in Arizona, where the Brewers are taking on the D-backs. A Domingo Santana solo home run followed a Travis Shaw two-run homer. Brewers now lead 3-0, first inning, with Brandon Woodruff yet to take the mound in Arizona. Right now, we want to know what's fair to expect from the Bucks' new head coach, whether it's Mike Budenholzer or anybody else, in year one. 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 1057FM The Fan. I hate to throw a wrench in the whole question, and I always get mad at you guys when you do this, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. Can we accurately and intelligently answer this question with Jabari Parker's status up in the air right now?
No.
I don't think so. But
Maybe not to a certain degree, but I'll tell you this much.
What's fair to expect from the Bucks' new head coach in year one? 414-799-1250.
If you're putting Middleton in that meeting and not Jabari, I think that speaks volumes of where you see Jabari. I tend to agree with Leroy. If that was just Giannis, just the superstar, no question. Everybody gets it. Mm-hmm. When you throw in Middleton, who's never been an all-star, and he's now a part of this breakfast meeting with an opportunity to opt out in free agency after next season, tells me, and I would assume everybody else, that obviously he's two in this piece. It's not Jabari. That's how I look at it.
Well, look.
Now, I don't know about everybody else. You look at it the same way, Gary?
Mm-hmm.
Rami?
Yeah.
Not necessarily. I think.
Okay. Yeah, I got to hear this.
Well, it could be, A, Jabari's just not in town. I don't know what Jabari's doing today.
For sure. It could be that.
Or B, it could
call
be that.
Me, I can make it.
It could be that they haven't decided what they're going to do with Jabari yet. I mean, a lot of it, I think, probably depends on how the market plays out. What sort of offer Jabari sees out there and if they want to match it.
Well, Jabari's future for the Milwaukee Bucks is up in the air.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
But I don't think that because he wasn't at that breakfast meeting today, that means that he's not part of the future. It might mean that they haven't decided yet, that they're undecided on Jabari's future.
And that lets you know that as well.
Right.
It could be all that.
But if I'm the marketing people to control the optics of it, just have Giannis.
And because, be done with it, yes.
Right. But since they didn't, you have questions. You've opened it up to more questions. So you can't say, well, why do people think that? They're going to think that because it looks like he's the number two guy. And if I'm the coach, these are two guys I'm going to build with, I'm eating with.
Yeah.
I would think that. And I would think that you got a better chance of getting the job. So let's get on with the press conference that started to build now instead of all this surprise stuff. I don't get that.
But even with that question up in the air, Sparky, we can have a vague expectation for the first year head coach, can't we, when it comes to the Milwaukee Bucks?
Yeah, I think so.
What would that be in your eyes?
It's got to get to the second round of the playoffs. I mean, I don't think there's any question about it. First year of the new stadium, you've got to be able to at least get to the second round of the playoffs. If you go the first round, you lose again. And I don't care who you're playing. I don't care if it's Philly with LeBron James. I don't care if it's Cleveland with LeBron James. I don't care if it's Boston with all their stars. If you lose in the first round, that's a failed season. That's how I'm going to adjust next year. Plain and simple. So everybody says, well, if you go to Milwaukee, you have less expectations than you do in Toronto. Okay. So we'll see how he does with fewer expectations as head coach of this team. But if he doesn't get out of the first round, I don't care if they win 53, 54 games and they lose in the first round. You have to win the first round next year. I don't care how many wins you have, but you have to win the first round.
I don't know if that's fair. GE, is that fair?
It's very unfair because I think you don't know what you're going to have. This is a huge if thing here, that we're doing. You have no idea what you're going to have.
And do I got Giannis?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got Middleton. So those two, I'm good with.
That's not going to be enough.
Fill in around it.
Yeah, it's not going to be enough. I mean, Cleveland's got LeBron, too.
Boston seems to be doing all right.
This is not Boston.
What does that mean?
They got
which Bucks, player is better than Giannis on that team right now?
The Bucks are not Boston, but they have a collection of players at every position that can do something. We don't.
So we just don't have talent. So it wasn't enough. Jason Kidd's fault.
Yeah, we don't have. Well, I said that from jump.
So you just don't believe the talent's that good?
I said that at jump.
Okay, well, yeah, if you don't think the talent's that good, that's where we disagree.
Well, I didn't say that it wasn't that good. I don't know why you just.
Because you said Boston has a collection of guys that.
Yeah, at every position.
Right. And you're saying Milwaukee doesn't.
Not at every position. Okay. Not like. I think you agree with that. Not at every position.
Outside of center.
Yeah, not at every. And that guy at center has been killing people. Wait, did he play like that in Atlanta? Good God almighty. Just killing folks. And they have a couple defensive stoppers with Boston. We don't have that. So I think it's tough to say that this is what they got to do when you just don't know what the team is. I mean, this team could be – they could break it up. Meaning that Jabari could be gone and Bledsoe could be gone. I don't know what they're going to get back in return, but it has to fit. This team could take a couple steps backwards before it goes forward for next year.
If Jabari's back and Jabari takes that next step in his development, Leroy, which I think he will. I'm not scared off by the knee injuries. If he's back and he takes that next step, I'm with Sparky. I expect at the very least a first-round series victory in the playoffs. If Jabari's not back, Giannis alone is good enough to get you into the playoffs. That would be my expectations until I see what other roster moves are made, how they fill the hole that's left by Jabari leaving, if Jabari should leave. But just if it's this roster minus Jabari, it's good enough to get into the playoffs.
Agreed.
If Jabari is back, it should be good enough to win a first-round playoff series.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm not going to put a lot of pressure on a guy no one really knows a lot about. I mean, this is his second stint as head coach. I'm not going to put that kind of pressure on him. If he can come in, it may take a year or so for him to get his philosophy down, for guys to buy in, guys to understand where he's coming from, guys to listen to him and not tune him out, and to get guys to get along and like each other. All that takes time. It may take a year or two for him to get his feet under him if he's here that long. I mean, so I expect, just maybe to get in the playoff or just miss it. That's what I expect. Anything more than that, hey, I'd be happy.
The guy would do a hell of a coaching job to come in here. And,
there's a lot of problems you got to fix.
Yes.
And we don't know what the pieces are
going to be. Great question, Rumble. We don't know what the pieces are going to be. I mean, so if you say if this, if that, if this, if the team is where it is right now, I agree with Steve. You should win the first-round playoff game with this team the way it sits right now because I know what that is.
So the coach – but I would say that people now, say the coach was the problem.
Now, if they're facing Boston again with Gordon Hayward, with Kyrie, not going to happen. If it's Boston –
I think people overestimate their talent.
Overestimate whose talent?
Milwaukee's talent. This talent is good. It's as good as what we
get there, Rami. I see where you were going. It's coming.
It's not what y'all think.
Gonna take a sip off his coffee.
y'all think y'all got this great team, down. Man. I don't see it.
No, but so if they got Boston, say, in the first round, and they got Kyrie and Gordon Hayward with these jokers that they got now, not fair.
What do you think is fair to expect?
What I'm asking you. If they get Boston
in the first round next year, and with Kyrie and a healthy Gordon Hayward,
with this team
added
they got
to what
now,
we've seen in the first three rounds of the playoffs, they won't win that series.
Not fair.
No, even if Jabari's back, and even if they get Greg Popovich, even if they get Phil Jackson to coach this
team,
not
fair.
I don't think that there's enough.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Okay, maybe not.
What seed were they?
The Celtics?
No, the Bucks.
They were the seven seed, right, Spark? Yeah, seven seed. Yeah.
So did you remember they were trying to play Boston?
So they got to try to move up. Yeah, they got to try to get up. They want to stay away from Boston. Now, Toronto, I saw today they were talking about DeMar DeRozan trying to move him today. So they may be all done. So that there could be a spot there where you can
plug
move up.
Coach, they don't get much better than that.
What's fair to expect from the new Bucks head coach in year one? 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. I'll tell you what's fair to expect from Sight and Sound Solutions. the best damn service you're going to find when it comes to getting TV service.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It's DirecTV is what we're talking about here. Disabling that cable and making the move over to DirecTV with Sight and Sound Solutions. You get, for $99 a month to start off, you get AT&T home phone, AT&T internet, DirecTV choice package. That includes Fox Sports Wisconsin. Watch your favorite teams there. Plus, you also get the Genie for your home, which is their DVR, for free. 1,000 hours of recording time. That's a lot of recording time. You got to record a lot of shows to fill up 1,000 hours. Plus, you get installation of your DirecTV for no cost and within a couple of days of ordering it through Sight and Sound Solutions in Brookfield. Now, I emphasize again, this is all through Sight and Sound Solutions in Brookfield. We're not talking about calling a 1-800 number here. Everything I'm telling you is with Al over at Sight and Sound. As far as service, everything, it's top-notch that you're going to get there versus, like I said, 1-800 number. Now, you also get the NFL Sunday ticket at no extra charge for the upcoming football season. You get football the way you want with the NFL Sunday ticket, only on DirecTV. Every out-of-market game, every Sunday. Plus, watch games anywhere on your favorite device. Call Sight and Sound Solutions today at 262-754-1500 to get an exclusive offer. $400 in Visa cards. $400 in Visa cards if you call today. 262-754-1500. You can use those Visa cards anywhere Visa is accepted. You do not have to use them with AT&T. You do not have to use them with DirecTV. You can use them anywhere your little heart desires that accepts Visa. NFL Sunday ticket automatically renews each season. Prevailing rate, unless canceled prior to start of the season, select international games excluded. Remote access to one game at a time. Data charge may apply. Call for details.
Your answer to this question coming up after a short break. And in that break, the latest from Chase Field in Arizona and your chance to win $1,000 right now, right here on the Wendy's Big Show, because we love you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.